Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Well, welcome back, and we're the program. This is Monday, and it's live on Monday. It will be rebroadcast on Friday and Saturday, as normally done. And this is program is on Roberto Clemente, the baseball player and the person. And my guest joined me on talking about Roberto Clemente and to field any questions. He's an expert. Desafiando los Genios was his program, as you'll remember if you listened to my program, Bob Leith. So it's Bob Leith. So Bob, tell us how you met and your relationship with Roberto Clemente.
Well, Jorge, thanks for inviting me. And by the way, the last program that I did with you, I want you to know you have a great listening audience, because when I go to the movies or I go to somebody, I always meet somebody and say, Bob, I heard you on radio also.
That's so good. That's good news, because one of the problems with radio is, you know, you never know who's out there
you
listening.
You never know who's out there, you know.
Yes, I've received a lot of good comments.
Yeah, and then people stop you when you least want them to stop you. You're going into the movie, you're late, or you're trying. yeah. And you try to be nice and speak to them, you know. But, my relationship with baseball in Puerto Rico, I'll tell you briefly, as I said, goes back to when my dad, of course, was with the Immigration Service, and the ships that came to Puerto Rico all had to go to Anchorage. And they stayed at Anchorage, and then the first ship that boarded was the Public Health Service. And they rolled up that yellow flag, and the ship was quarantined until that doctor went on board and checked everything on board. And once he gave them the clearance, then the immigration came aboard, and then came the customs, and then came the agriculture. But once the yellow flag came down and the ship was no longer in quarantine, they went on board, and then, of course, each one of those agencies had a boat of their own. So when my dad would take me, I would stay on the boat while he went on board, and I stayed with the boat. And during the course of being associated with being on the waterfront, the Coast Guard would come in every now and then, and I would go down, and they'd say, hey, kid, you know, can you dig up 10 or 12 Puerto Rican kids, because our sailors want to play baseball? I said, so sure. So the cruiser, the cutter, always had a truck on board, so they put a truck on board, and we go to where Sixto Escobar is now. It wasn't then. It was a conodromo. They're all full of ballparks. And the Coast Guard would play against these 10 or 12 kids that I picked up, you know. And then they'd take us back to the ship and give us a soft drink or a sandwich or whatever it was. But I go back on Saturday night, because the ship was out of Boston, and it was traveling down the area, cruising for the Caribbean, you know, and they had brown bread, baked beans, and hot dogs, which was my dinner on board the ship. So anyway, that led me to when I started got grown up. I started buying the radio rights for these games when there was no TV, and every baseball game was broadcast. And let me tell you, it had interest all over the island, because fans, you know. No TV, so they heard the games on radio.
Yeah, baseball was really big.
Oh, it was really great. And I bought them from Pepito Rivera. And I paid him the first year, and I made money. And then he raised my fee, so I had to raise my advertising fees. So when he came around to negotiate for the third year, he wanted to increase it more. And I said, Pepito, I'll give you a few more bucks and buy the ball club. And that's what I did. I bought the ball club. It cost me $75,000. And I gave him a down payment. And I had the signature of three good friends of mine to guarantee the balance of 50. And that was Salvador Colon, one of them. The other one was Chavez Ramirez. And the other one was Pepe Oyer, Dr. Oyer's father. So anyway, that's when I bought the ball club, and that's when Clemente was part of the team. But the big thing that happened...
But you had been an announcer, so you were also part of the team. Yeah, so you were watching them just every day.
Oh, yeah. It was the San Juan Ball Club.
Right.
And so we had, you know, we had the full game, and then that first year I brought down Phil Rizzuto to play. When I bought the club, the first that I owned it, I brought him down to play shortstop. And Phil couldn't make the club. He couldn't make the club.
It was a good
so
club.
Then the, so that was 1960. So then he was with his wife, and I'd already had an apartment for him. So I said, Bob, what am I going to do? He said, well, why don't you start broadcasting? So he broadcasted, and that's the first baseball in English. So he broadcasted the season in English. We bought a few more sponsors, and he enjoyed himself tremendously. And my story, of course, is when he went to go back, I said, well, Phil, I have to get together with you now because I paid you to be a ball player, and you were in a ball club, and I don't know. He said, Bob, I was afraid of this conversation because I was afraid how much you were going to charge me for having such a wonderful time. He says, I've enjoyed myself tremendously, tremendously. And I'll never forget the year in 1984 that I was Grand Marshal of the Puerto Rican Day Parade. That year, the Yankees were playing, and it was a home team. And Phil, of course, gave me the greatest publicity in the world because during the game he kept saying my friend Bob Leith from San Juan is the Grand Marshal of Puerto Rican Day Parade. And a lot of people that I had lost track with, you know, they either called the station or they found out what the hotel I was staying at and they called me. So it worked out very nicely. But that's how it started with Roberto. But the big thing was that I was a rookie in handling clubs. And Pedro Vasquez was the president of the league, and he came by on August 1st, and he said, Bob, did you send out the contracts for the team? I said, no, I haven't sent them out because I haven't negotiated them. He said, well, Bob, that isn't the way it works. You send out, and you send them the contract that they had last year. Then they come and negotiate with you. But you have to send the contract to keep them as part of the club. So if you don't send it by August 1st, all the team are free agents. So I had bought the ball club, and all of a sudden, they didn't have any ball players. Smart me, as I wasn't too smart. However, I didn't have any trouble signing the rest of the ball players, but the other one that wasn't signed was Clemente. And Jorge, the press had a field day telling me how stupid I was, and now with Roberto Clemente being a free agent, then when he came to sit down and negotiate with me, you know, he was going to ask for astronomical figure.
I said, he had been on the winning Pirate World Series.
Well, what happened was that he belonged to the San Juan Club, but had I not bought the club, the former president would have sent out the contracts. But he didn't tell me anything about that.
Yeah, see? But Roberto Clemente standing, he had won the World Series. The Pirates had won the
That's
World
right.
Series
That's
the year
right
before.
Yeah.
And so he was the most valuable player.
Right.
So he was the star of the world right then. So and you didn't have him contract.
I didn't have him tied for Puerto Rico. But what I had done, of course, is I had taken his mother and her father and I had taken them to Pittsburgh. They'd never been to Pittsburgh and never been to the World Series. And he appreciated that so much, you know, that they went to there.
Yeah, that was a great moment that they finally made those trips.
Oh, yeah, to have them there, you know, because they never didn't want to go to those events. And I took them, because he's a great, great, great human being. And then as when I bought the ball club, they'd be very close. But getting back for 3 weeks, the price were completely wrong, you know. So finally, when he did call me, I said, Mama, where are you? He said, well, I'm enjoying myself. I said, but we got to sign the contract. He says, forget about it, no problem. I said, yeah, but the press, Bob, let them stew for another week, you know, so that they all look ridiculous. And then when we get together, they give me a contract and pay me the same thing that Pepito Rivera gave me last year.
That's tremendous. And you use the term moment. In the book, that book that I said I pulled off the shelf, it's called, you know, Clemente, The Passion and Grace of Baseball's Last Hero by David Morales. People used to call him moment because he used to always sort of say, momentito, momentito. From very young, he used to say, momentito, like let me think about it, you know, don't hurry me and this and that. So he's called him moment.
And when
momentito.
People went to the Pirates and made a moment, then he turned around because that's a friend of mine. They know, you know. I had one beautiful, beautiful black Labrador. And I asked his permission. I says, I love that dog so much as I love you. Do you mind if I call him woman? I said, no. The dog was with me for 17 years. Really, really late.
Because you called her dog after Robert
Clemente Moment. Yeah, and he loved it. He loved it because he's a great human being. We talked to him. But, so there I was happy to start and then move in to when own the club. And I won the pennant. We won the pennant. And we went to Caracas. And I don't know if I told you the story. When we got down there, there was a meeting. And I said, Clemente, I said, I have a problem. He said, why? The base American ball players don't want to pay for the salary they agreed to pay in San Juan. He says, I got a strike on my hands. He said, let me handle that. So he went in, closed the room, and he told him, he says, your contract says that you play in Puerto Rico, and if you win the Caribbean Series or come in first or second, you get a bonus. But you got to play basically for the same. He said, now, if you don't break up the strike right away, I'm going to that phone, and I'm going to call Boy Kuhn. And I'm going to tell Boy Kuhn that we're in an international competition. You are refusing to conform to your contract, which that contract was actually forwarded to Major League Baseball. And I'm going to tell him to kick you out of baseball. So I was in the dugout one moment, come back. He said, well, Bob, he says, I got good news and bad news. I said, well, give me the good news first. He said, well, he says, the club, the American boys, they agreed to sign. What's the bad noise? He said, well, he says, you see that nigger over there warming up? Well, they, I had no problem calling them niggers at that time because that's a sign of affection. So he says to me, see that nigger over there warming up? He says, yeah. He said, well, he says, last year in AAA, he won over 20 games. And this year, he's going up to the main club, which is the St. Louis Cardinals. I said, oh, my God. He's one hell of a Bob player. I said, yeah, what's his name? He said, Bob Gibson. Bob Gibson, one of the most outstanding ball players for the St. Louis Cardinals. And out of those six games, he won three for Maracaibo. Yeah. The game was played in Caracas, but the Maracaibo won. So what they do is they bring the team to play at the main club.
And that, but, that 1960, where he wins the World Series, and then he starts and he comes with you. I mean, he's on the Senators with you, and he wins that. That starts off because he started playing baseball in 1955, mm-hmm. April 1955, and the first 5 years were not very good. We can go into why that that happened, but in 60 there's a turnaround. He starts doing fantastic work, and all through the 60s he does incredible. But it's in this book, the 1 year that he went below, that he didn't bat 300, he batted 291, and the author, this Marinus, says that the reason were two, really. One was that he had an injury to the shoulder. He fell at his house, and although he kept it to himself, he had an injury that really affected him tremendously. But the second thing was that year was a pitcher's year, and he with a 291, which is but he with a 291 was 10th in the National League, and only three ball players hit over 300. So it was a pitcher, and Bob Gibson had an earned run average of 1.12, which is unheard of. 1.12 that year. So Gibson comes back, he was. I wonder what his batting was with Bob Gibson that year. It would have been interesting to see.
Well, he knew who he was facing, and Bob Gibson.
I'm with Bob Leith, and we're talking about Roberto Clemente, and we're going to take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll just go give you a brief summary of what Roberto Clemente achieved as a ball player. I'm sure you're going to be surprised because I every time I read it, I learn something new about his accomplishment. And then we'll talk about a little bit about him as a person, which is I think the main interesting aspect of any human being.